the fan chat. We've got a full house here in Toronto. We got. Let me just go around and introduce everyone. Can you guys come by the camera and wave or say hi when I introduce you guys? All right. First up, we got Mr. Mark Single here, the building a computer guy. Mark, where are you at? Mark's spent some time this morning setting up our little webcam stream. Behind Mark is Miranda Plant. You know her as Anastasia. And we've got a couple people roaming on with cameras here. The guy coming to the shot right now is Davin Langell. World of Warcraft is a feeling guy, special effects guy, and whatever guy. So Davin does Winding Gear. Some of you guys may have seen that show. And, of course, we got Mr. Dway here with the big bottle of JD that I think he's been getting into. So he might have some crazy stuff to tell you guys about. And on that another computer, and I don't think he's paying much attention to the TeamSpeak chat right now. Oh, here we go, is Mr. Jarrett Kale, Jeremy himself. And I'm Jeff. And I guess you'll see my face later. So, yeah, that's us here. And joining us from Calgary is Joel Gardner. Joel, you want to say hi?
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Awesome. So we've got a queue set up, as I mentioned. So you want to start us off with some chat action?
Sure. Squeeze number one.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, we have some mic problems with Scree.
Yeah, okay. Pawnee, you go first. Scree, why don't you go second?
All right. Hey, Kyle, what's up? I have a quick question for Jeremy. I'm a big old-school Age of Empires 1 fan, diehard. I want to know if Jeremy won, if you played Age of Empires, the first one, and what was his favorite civilization, if he remembers.
Hey, man. Yeah, I hate that question just because I didn't play AoE 1. The first one I played was AoE 2, and it was very briefly, and it wasn't until AoE 3 that I really spent a lot of time with AoE and got familiar with it, so, yeah.
That's okay. I had one last thing, by the way. Hey, Kyle, your cookies are remembering. Goodbye.
Awesome, dude. My cookie will always remember.
Me cookie. Anyway, me now? Oh, just go for it. I just wanted to say the show sucks. Good game, no read. No, I'm only joking. Wanted to be the first to congratulate you on episode 2.1. It was awesome. And really, my question revolves around the final scene in that episode. Obviously, we see Dave microing towards Doug, and we see Doug firing off a shot while being hit and headshotting a big bad. But the question which really, I know Connor John and Denoli 3 have had sort of a big debate over in a specific thread is whether Doug fired the shot before he got hit, while he got hit, or after, and whether it was a misfire or intentional. And really, it comes down to what it looked like in the footage, the special effects, that Doug shoots beforehand, aims and shoots, and manages to drop Big Bad on purpose. But I was just wondering, how precise was that timing? How much did you know that was going to be scrutinized? And whether, without any spoilers, of course, we can reveal whether that was intentional or not.
Well, you know, it's funny. When we're making the show, we always think about the freeze framers, right? The circles and denolis out there that we know are going to freeze every frame and analyze it. So, yeah, it's funny that this came up. And, in fact, something that I haven't gone through and done myself is I haven't really checked to see if the flashes in episode 12 and the flashes in episode 13 are consistent. Maybe Davin knows that because he did all the special effects here. But Davin, I mentioned in an email, I said, if you can, try to make the flashes consistent. But we weren't thinking that far ahead when we did the episode 12 flashes. You want to talk about that? Well, most of the consistency issue is actually dealt with back when we were making episode 12. The flashes in the window were consistent with what we envisioned was going on inside the room, who was shooting first, who was shooting second, so on and so forth. So that was planned, and when I got the edits for episode 13 or 2.1, it was the same sort of game plan, the same people were shooting in the same order. So they should be consistent, although it's not timed. So it won't be timed correctly, but like which color goes when, that's all still consistent.
And regarding whether Doug is good or bad, or all the issues of did he mean to shoot the big bad in the head and all that, you know, if you got a Dave microball coming at you at high speed, that's pretty scary and might fuck up your aim a bit, even though, you know, you're shooting before the microball has hit you. And there was even a theory, which was pretty hilarious to me, that Econojohn came up with about different kinds of electromagnetic fields and some of them
the photon
affecting
tender,
beyond
yeah.
the range yeah. of the microball. I thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah, pretty much we wanted to keep it ambiguous in terms of the visuals, in terms of what Doug's intentions were. So you're just going to have to stay tuned to find out. But I do appreciate all the free framing, all the analysis. It's really fun for me to read.
How did I know that? You
sounds like there's some George Lucas going on.
Sorry, Joe, what's that? Go ahead.
I said, are you sure there's not some George Lucas-ing going on there?
Yeah, true, yeah. You know, the Han shot first deal. Yeah, we might have to go back and change that to make Joel either more evil or more good, depending on what we want to do 20 years from now.
Just for the record, Han shot first.
Guta Guta Solo.
Awesome. Okay. Any more questions, Scree?
No, that's it for now. Thanks very much. Good speaking to you.
Awesome, dude. Good to finally hear.
Thanks.
Okay, the next is Tearhead.
Yeah, hey guys, love the show. This question is for Dawe, if I pronounce that wrong, I'm sorry. He said that he did not want to pursue acting, but he returned. I'd like to know why.
Because I just kind of thought you guys loved me so much, you know, reading the forums, everybody's like, you should come back because you're so awesome. So I'm like, well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, so you're back for good now, or you don't know what's going on?
I don't really know what's going on, but who knows, you know, these kind of things. We'll see.
We're going to see a lot of Dave, man. I want to get Dave in the show as much as possible, so, yeah, it'll be awesome.
Well, yeah, he is awesome anyway, but I'm glad you're back in the show anyway. I hope you stay for good.
Thanks, dude.
That's it.
Okay. Then next is Rate, sir. If he's...
Yeah, I'm here. So my question is, what kind of music do you guys listen to?
You want to know what kind of music we listen to, eh? Well, I think I've answered that. Jarrett's answered that. I don't know if Dave's answered that, but did you want to know anyone's musical taste in specific? Because we listen to all kinds of music, all, and then it's usually different between all of us. So can you please be more specific?
Well, do you guys listen to any hard rock or heavy?
You know, we used to listen to a lot of harder stuff back in the day. I think, yeah, Mark's a big Metallica fan. Jarrett's a huge Tool fan. I like Tool.
Huge Tool.
Yeah. And, yeah, but I guess the hardest stuff I listened to was, it's been a while back when bands like Soundgarden were all rocking and early Rage Against the Machine, anyway.
Ah, okay, cool. Thanks.
Awesome, dude. And we all know Dave's all about Beethoven, right?
Yeah, next is Melon Queen.
Hey guys, how you going?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good for almost 5 a.m. in the morning. I was just wondering, when are you guys coming down under?
Oh, you know, we're really hoping to, well, we are planning for episode 2 of season 2. I don't know if we've announced this yet, though, but we're trying to book theaters either in London, England, or in Australia. So it depends on the theater availability where we're going to be going for the next tour. But I think the plan is right now to do one show in Toronto, then hop on a plane and head to either London or the area, so whatever the best place in England is to do a show. And or we're going to be going to Australia. So it could be episode 2 or it could be episode 3, depending on what kind of theater situation we've got down there. So yeah, hopefully we'll see you again soon. That was awesome that you came to Toronto for your little adventures, and you found the dog tag too, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was me.
Yeah, that was legendary. The first Gamer Army dog tag was found in Toronto by an Australian.
I did actually want to say something to Miranda as well, if I could.
Sure, I'll get her on the mic here. Hang on.
Hi, Miranda. I just wanted to say, when I was in Toronto, I actually managed to catch you in the opening night of Nine, the musical. And I just want to say congratulations on a good show.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm so impressed that you came to see that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problems. I don't know if you saw me. I was like the only person in the front row, and I was wearing an Iron Noobs top.
You know what? I don't think I did. I don't think I saw anybody in the audience just because I wasn't looking there. The lights are sort of blinding, but I'm extremely impressed that you came to see it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problems. And I also just want to say, Dave, keep the hair.
I agree.
All thanks, right,
girl.
Cool,
Juan.
Done. Thanks a lot. Cool, thanks, guys.
Okay, then if you don't want to say anything else, next is Dropshot. If you're available.
Yeah, I'm here. I'd like to say, hey guys, I love the show. I watch it all the time. My question is, right now, that I'm wondering if Taji or Kyle are going to get more intimate, because like, when Jeremy left on episode 13 to go to work, it seemed like there was chemistry between the two.
Why is everyone thinking that? There was nothing, man. I'm just hanging out, you know, trying to, you know, educate her with the regarding what awesome movies are, you know.
Yeah, well, it just looked like, because, I don't know, just seemed like it.
No, we would never get along. She hated the movie. It's my favorite movie, so, yeah, there's no possibility of us ever speaking to each other ever again.
All right. All right, well, that's really all the questions I got. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
You can do a question now, Cash.
Okay. Well, hey, guys. So my question would be, what scene in episode 13 did you like the most? That goes to all of you in the room.
Sorry, could you repeat that? Your mic's a little low.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so what scene in episode 13 did you like the most? Which one was each of your favorite?
Hmm.
My favorite, I don't know, it's either the Chariots of Fire or Norm scene. Norm's the comedian, the guy that plays the Xbox. I thought he did such an awesome job. He was improvising all these gloats for Jeremy, and he did so much. All of his stuff was really funny, but we only wanted to keep it, you know, we wanted to cut the scene down. We didn't want to make it very long. But it ended up being really long just because there was so much funny stuff we didn't know what to cut out. So that's why that scene's so long. There's so many gloats when they're playing hockey just because we thought it was really funny. So anyway, that's going to be my favorite scene. Let me ask Jared, or we'll see who else is around. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess my favorite scene in episode 13. I hate to give the same answer. That seems so cheesy, but you know, I think it was shooting with Norm and Andrew, the two guys, the Xbox scene. There was just a lot of chemistry there, and a lot of funny stuff just sort of happened. And we only shot over a couple hours, and it was like really, really fun. I can tell you my least favorite scene. That was doing the sort of Chariots of Fire take after I played CNC3 all night, and. As we were shooting that, I actually slipped on one of the takes. And the real tragedy is that it's not on camera because it would make probably a pretty funny blooper. But I slipped and I fell on my back and I fell into a whole bunch of dog shit. And even the takes that were used, actually, we moved to that new angle. I'm actually covered in shit from the back that you can't see. And it eventually dried and crusted, and it was like I had smelly shit all over me for like 45 minutes as we shot that. And then I had to go home and shower, and I actually ended up hurting my back, so when I got up the next day, I couldn't walk, and so it was all a pretty bad experience.
Well, yeah, that's gotta suck. So, Dave, here?
Hang on, Dave, do you want to answer that question, too?
Sure. Yeah.
But before we move on, I just want to, I feel a little bad, I forgot to introduce somebody that was here, but he was hiding. Patrick, you want to come up to the camera here? This is Prona Bozo, who did a lot of the music, did a couple songs in episode 12. He's an awesome musician. Check out his site, pronobozo.com. He did the drums for the song. We worked together on a collaboration for 13. He did the drums for the song when Jeremy finally starts to own CNC3. There's that techno-y kind of song or whatever, so it was fun to work with him and to bust all my analog gear and do some techno. It was pretty fun, so... Okay, I'll get Dave on the mic now, and he'll answer your question.
Favorite scene in episode 13? Wow, I have to really think really hard. But I guess the part that Jeremy was owning, that noob who's talking about how beautiful the PS3 graphic looked like, which is obviously a newbie McNoob comment, right? So, you know, the guy was really pushy, and Jeremy was holding back. It was really nice until, like, the word noob came out, and, you know, obviously it was just cool and smokey face. I kind of like that quite a bit. Yeah.
Hey, Joel, you want to answer that question?
Yeah, I mean... It sounds so gay, but I have to agree and say the exact same scene. I laughed my ass off when I first saw it, and they both did a great job, and I loved the slags. It was hilarious.
Awesome. Any other questions, Ben?
Yeah, I have one more. So, I don't know if you want to answer that, but what was Dave doing meanwhile? I mean, between episode 9 and episode 13? Or are you going to elaborate? Oh, yeah, okay. So
he was in China getting to adventures that we may or may not flash back to in future episodes.
Who knows?
Okay, yeah. That's,
and
that's
or sitting on my couch all day playing Tetris.
Okay, well, that's pretty much it. Thanks, and keep rocking on.
Awesome, man. Good talking to you.
Yeah, see ya.
Okay. Next is Mantros. Oh, yeah. Cash can, yeah.
Jeff, just a quick question here for you from a user called Jazz. I've had two questions similar to this too also. The question is, why did you suddenly decide to ignore all the plot suspense and awesome gamer army stuff you'd built up over season one and revert back to episode one style? Will we ever see the gamer army to master FBI, etc. plot stuff again, or will it be thrown away to make new way for other stuff? There you go.
Well, the plan is, you know, this is season 2, episode 1. It's called Old Habits. It was kind of a throwback to episode 1. There's a lot of callbacks with the smoked meat and all that. The plan is, the way we're going to structure the season 2, is very similar to season 1. We're going to start with the gaming, the mockumentary, the Jeremy and Kyle stuff, and then ramp our way up to introduce characters, to getting into the Master's story. So we're going to ramp up to another big event that happens at the end of season 2 that has to do with the big epic story. So we're starting from scratch again and kind of building it up. So that's the plan, and you'll see a little bit more gamer army stuff coming in future episodes.
Okay. Mantros now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Well, I've got two questions, and I'd like to start off with this one. Was there ever a time that you, like, doubted Pure Ownage and you wanted to, like, give up, or you just felt that it might not have the, like, same longevity that it's had over, like, the past few years?
Yeah, actually, quite a few times. I mean, we have great fans, and we have an awesome community, so that's really positive, but it's sort of become a routine that every time we release an episode, Jared starts freaking out and thinking that the world's going to end and that the world, everyone's going to hate the episode and that it's terrible, and I guess I'm just one of those guys, and I sit back at the end and look at my own work, I'm just way too critical, so I think it's terrible. But then afterwards, all the support comes in, and the show keeps growing, and it's, and, you know, and it usually takes just a few hours after it's out before I start to really appreciate it. But there's always those moments of panic, I think, which I think is great. It's always good to doubt yourself, and I think it, you know, being extra critical of your work just raises the quality bar, you know, just that much higher.
Yeah, thanks. And also, in episode 13 or episode 1 of season 2, Darway comes behind from the curtain, and I was just wondering if you could, like, enlighten me on how he got behind that curtain, which I think is on the second or third floor of the castle, please.
Well, he wasn't hiding before the encounter or anything. He came through the window, and as to how he got to a second story window, well, I guess you just want to keep watching.
Yeah, completely understandable. And, well, that's it, really. And just wanted to say, you said earlier about you might come to London or Australia, and being in London, it's like, even just considering that's enough. So thanks very much for doing that, and it's been nice talking to all of you. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Okay, Prototype M, are you available?
Okay, yeah. Well, I got a question for Dave. Dave, how much can you bench press?
Dave,
then I kind of feel like I probably can do it more than you can do, man. I don't want to say the number.
How much?
Dave is currently playing Tetris online against someone. That's what Dave usually does all day. So his responses are intermittent at best.
Oh, well, okay. Another question for Kyle, I guess. So in episode 5, there's the Angry Man Strong Man movie. He answered it in character as Cal before, but I want to answer about that movie out of character. Like, what is it?
It's a movie, man. That's what it is.
No, but last time when you explained the in-character, he was when the guy was some guy that a few guy could speak some certain language or something. So what is it really?
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's Levi Namiseb does speak that obscure bush language, the Klick language, that is only spoken by a handful of people on the planet. So that is true. And, you know, the guy that's writing is the guy that does the voice of the master, William Craig. And it was just, you know, wanted to make fun of the art house style. So it's really a bunch of random shots, a bunch of crap that we threw together into a movie that was supposed to be of some significance given some whatever obscure interpretation, which I think a lot of people go and they make short films, and a lot of them are garbage. I've seen a lot of them at the Toronto Film Festival, and they're supposed to be of some significance. So I just wanted to make fun of that. So honestly, the honest answer is that really we shot that thing in half an hour, and edited it up and just left it. There's just a bunch of random stuff, you know, the crazy mask that Levy's wearing. He brought that to the set. I told him the concept of the movie. He's like, hey, I brought a mask in case you want to use it. I'm like, dude, we have to use that mask because it's so random and garbage, and you can interpret it to mean something if you want to. So that was the whole point of that, was to show that Kyle's in film school making all these garbage films while he's doing Pure Ownage on the side.
Well, okay, thanks for answering it.
Awesome, man.
Okay, Sapphire next.
Hey, everybody. Long time no see. I actually have a question to come back way back on the old days. So now that I'm Pregzors, which one of you is the father of my baby?
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see till the baby's born, because it could be Dave, right?
Well, you know what Jeremy said last time. You guys are all going to have my babies, so.
So you totally cheated on me. What's with that?
Hey, Jared. How's it going?
Not too bad.
I'm so bummed out we didn't get to hang out after the Montreal premiere. The snowstorm just ruined everything.
Yeah, there was a freak blizzard, so it was kind of strange. It sucked with it. Drive through that the next day.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I just want to also comment and say that episode 13 was hilarious. You guys did a great job as usual. And, like, I was probably laughing the loudest in the theater because it was just, like, so funny. I really have to say thanks for all the hard work you guys put in the show. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Awesome.
Feeder? My room can't hear. Anyway, Feeder,
do you
want
to ask some questions?
Yeah, just wondering, to all the World of Warcraft players in the cast, what kind of characters do you roll, and why did you choose those characters?
I don't think anyone in the cast plays anymore.
And no one when I played like really early, like day one. I played mostly because I knew that it was going to be a really huge game, and it would be kind of silly to not have any knowledge of it. I had previous experience with MMOs, so I already knew that I didn't like the genre, and so I played it for about 4 months or something, and I just kind of rushed to 60, and I saw the whole game, and I played a priest at the time because all of my buddies from EQ that had came over needed that class. We were very team-oriented, you know, sort of power guild, and I just played what was needed, and it was very, you know, very business-like, so I was the priest, and that's why I played a priest, and I played until 60 for a while, and then we tried playing again recently, like about like half a year ago, a year ago, we started the guild and tried to get back into it, and trying to have sort of a PB fan guild and whatnot, and that's when Jeff had started playing and gotten into it, but now none of us play. Jeff was a warlock, at my recommendation, and Joel, I think, was a gnome warrior because that's just really fucking cool. Except that you learn that line of sight then hoops you later, so that kind of sucked. And yeah.
Yeah, not cool when you're trying to get healed.
Yeah, we picked our characters based on the group dynamics of the Super Ultra Megas. It was a guild that we had played in, and so we were going to do a bunch of five-man instances, and it was just our RL friends we were going to play with, so I think that was the basis of our character selection.
Okay. Cash, you got a question?
I certainly do. Jeff, I have a question for you here from Yale. The question is, are we going to be introduced with a whole lot of new characters or people from the past, or are we going to find out the identity of the Master? So I guess that's two questions there. The first being, should we expect any new characters or people from the past? I don't know if you can give any of that away, but that's the question we have here.
I don't want to give too much away because, you just have to watch the show. But I will say there will be at least one new character in the next few episodes.
Glad to hear it.
Okay, so next is Armin Call, if you're available.
You're actually acting like a robot. You're actually acting like a robot.
Enough of that.
Circa. Let's see here. Cash, you can take another question if you want.
The only other question I have is if Miranda can put her shoe on her head. So I don't think we need to ask it.
Okay. Well, then next is Circa.
Yes, Jeff, why'd you shave the beard?
Because I woke up one morning and I was going to shave like my neck and around my beard, but I put too much shaving cream in my hand, so I had to use it all, and I'm like, fuck it, I'll just shave my beard.
Oh yeah, and today's Denoli's birthday, so just got to give a shout out to him.
Happy birthday, Denoli.
We're supposed to sing happy birthday, we should probably do that maybe. Denoli, this is Davin. I'm going to do a little happy birthday shut-up. It's my birthday tomorrow, man. But anyway, to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Denoli. It's like a lasagna. Happy birthday to you. Cheers, man. Awesome.
WindingGear.com.
Okay, so next is Cal Trauma, Spoon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Very low microphone volume.
Oh, can you not hear me?
Barely.
Oh, hold on.
That's better.
All right, how about now? That's better? All right, I actually just wanted to talk to Kyle. I was wondering, Kyle, did, when Goons.net called your dad 20 times, did it, like, affect you and Goons.net's relationship?
Tesseract. where is he? There we go. Tesseract, you have a question? Hello? Okay, Dr. Toker.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, can you guys hear me?
What's going on?
Hey, dude.
So basically, I just had a question. You know, what do you think of the tour? You know, things you learned. You know, because you guys were working. You know, that whole week, man. What do you guys learn? Things you picked up? Were you culture shocked at all? Do you have a good time? What's up?
Actually, that's a good question. Well, I think when we went into it, we had a little more vacation mindset than we should have had, and it ended up being very exhausting. And I think even just by the end of the New York show, it finally started to occur to all of us that we might be in some pretty bad shape by the time we finished the tour. And so, it was way more work than I thought, but we had a great time, and it was awesome spending a short period of time in a whole bunch of different cultures that are very similar, but they've got all these small variants. And we learned, well, that Texas loves guns, and that they say y'all, you know. But,
yep.
I mean, more profoundly, yep. we learned some really cool things about just people in general, how they interact in New York, you know. They're louder, very upfront, they're very forward. They're a lot more reserved in San Diego, and... it was a really, really cool experience. I'm not sure if we'll repeat such a big tour, you know, so many stops in such a short period of time, but it was a really great life experience.
Yeah, that's great, you guys. Y'all take care.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah, so this Tesseract didn't have a microphone, apparently, so I'll ask his question for him. Who was in the picture for Jeremy's computer wallpaper? Which is interesting.
That's Shigeru Miyamoto?
Yeah. So anyways, next person is Deathfire1.
Hey, guys. Bought quite a lot of stuff in the Noob Store, and I was wondering approximately how much you make from the Noob Store in about a month.
I don't really know the exact numbers. It's enough to eat and pay rent. We don't live very lavishly, as the guests in my little house right now can tell you. But I know we get by. I mean, it's the same that I made stocking shelves, so I'm not complaining.
Cool. Okay. Thanks. See ya.
Okay, then Sir Knight.
Hello? This working?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was going to ask about an Australian tour, but yeah, someone already asked that. I just want to say we've got a huge gaming community here, so I really encourage you to do that. My question is about the Xbox guy. Do you think he might make a return in future episodes?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
The Xbox guy, Norm, I think his name was, do you think he'll be making a return sometime in the future?
You'll just have to see.
Yeah, you know, you can check out Norm's stuff. He's got some other stuff on the web. Norm Souza is his name, Sousa. You can search for him and find, I think he's got a few sketches. Videos on YouTube or whatever. And of course, if you're in Toronto, you can see him every Sunday night at the Sketcherson show.
Was he the same actor who played the Power Glove guy?
No, that's not the same guy.
It looked very similar. And the Chariots of Fire song, does it have a little bit of the Hey Noobs theme mixed into it? I picked that up a bit. I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, I pretty much took the Hey Noobs theme and put it in, like, the Evangelist style. So, it's kind of like the Evangelist up Hey Noobs thing is what I was going for, and I tried to get the exact instrumentation. I'm glad you noticed that.
Thanks. I think that's about it. Thanks for... Yeah.
Okay, we've got a question here from Anuasis, and his question is, Joel says PP are coming to Europe, so I want to know if they're coming to Slovenia, and if Joel could... Yeah, never mind. I'm not going to ask this question. Next person is Bill.
I'm back now. If anyone has questions or you sent the questions in the past 5 minutes, please redirect them to me, as my logs have been wiped. T.Y. And fuck you, Goon.
Who's next, Hurricane?
Bilch. He's the only one voiced apart from Sue.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay? Yep. I'm a big PP fan from England. My question is for Jarrett, and I guess probably Jeff, too. It's pretty clear that you guys, before you started making the show, you were quite pro at games. But since the show started taking over more of your life, how do you manage to make sure you still have time to play the games that you want to play and you don't get out of touch?
Wow, yeah. It's a huge question. And it's funny how few people consider that. But I've started to classify my gaming time as partly work. So I allot at least 2 hours a day to like game and play games and make sure that I still enjoy playing games and I'm into it, because otherwise you start to lose touch with something that would be tragic. But yeah, I mean, compared to before the show, when I was playing probably 8 to 12 hours a day, that's all I did. You know, I played games. That was mostly my life. I did stand up at night. That's a pretty low time commitment job. So I had a lot of free time. And now with the show. Well, lately, since the tour's over and the episode's out, I've been getting a good 4 to 6 hours, which is nice for me again. But it's basically now I'm in a position where I'm just trying to work back to getting to the 8 to 12 hour position.
I see. That's awesome. Thanks.
Okay, next person is Static.
Hey, can you hear me?
You have a bit of static, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. My question's for Jeremy. I was wondering what you thought the best RTS was out right now.
Yeah, it's funny. The best RTS right now that's still supported, that people play, like, might be StarCraft, and that's an embarrassing answer for the game development community, really. Right now I'm playing a lot of Command & Conquer 3 just because it's new, and I enjoy discovering a new RTS, because I think the most exciting time is playing an RTS for the first couple months it's out, when the scraps aren't all cookie cutter and there aren't a whole bunch of noobs that have just downloaded replays and memorized build orders. You're in still the build order creation process, and everything's so fresh to everyone. The people that can adapt and really think while they're playing really stand out in the early stages usually. So that's fun for me. But I really don't even know what I'm going to fall back on. In the end, I always seem to fall back to older games, and kind of disappointed in a lot of modern RTS. The really best ever might have to be StarCraft.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing that game back in the day. Thanks, sir.
If I may interject, what do you actually think of Command & Conquer 3 as it is now?
As it is now, I'm kind of disappointed a bit. I don't want to get into specifics. I spent a lot of time thinking about game design and whatnot. But just really, obviously there's a couple of balance issues, and the whole insta build, the multiple build queue kind of thing. I don't know. There's a few problems, but when I play it, I can see that there's a great game there. There just need to be some small tweaks, and I know that the guys making it are going to be making those tweaks for quite a while. And they have the money to do it now, and they're excited to do it, and they're pretty passionate about it. So, right now, I can't say that I have a lot of fun playing it, but I see a lot of potential.
Okay. Next in the queue, I believe, is Brave Zealot.
I might just get a few questions out of the way if I can. I've got the influx here.
Yeah.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
I'll let you get those, Zealot.
Yeah, talk.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, yeah.
Yes, hello. My question is to Jeff, to Kyle, primarily. The scene with the children at the beginning of the episode, I think that scene is really interesting. Could you tell us more about that scene and about the children, and if you're ever going to use those children again, and how that came about? Can you just tell us more about that scene?
Use those children.
Really, it was a last-minute thought. We shot that scene a week before the episode was finished. So there's a few kids that live around where I live, and I said, hey, can you guys run around and shoot each other? And you're playing this controller. And, yeah, it was just shot really quickly, and it was nice to have a little flashback to the childhood and have a little joke about how Jeremy grew up on a controller and Doug was playing with the zapper and whatever. So yeah, there's just a couple kids. We just said, hey, you want to be in the show? And they're like, sure, yeah. And I'm not sure if we'll have them back in the show or not, though. But it's good. It's cool that they're always around. We can always use them.
Okay. Was that it, Stella?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Jeff, Nate. DH5TV.org was asking, he was wondering if you were English. Do you speak it? Hey, I was wondering if you plan to do any side projects in the future or if you're currently working on any, along with IPTV shows. Does anyone watch BSODTV.org or Porch7.org? So his initial question seems to be, are you working on any side projects or have any future plans for that?
Yeah, we can't get the episodes of Pure Onage fast enough, so it doesn't make sense for us to spend any time working on anything else. But even though I'd like to work on other IPTV, but right now we're just trying to do Pure Onage stuff as much as possible. And but we might do some shorts, actually, some short gaming-related videos that are kind of not in the universe of Pure Onage. We might start working on those in the future. But yeah, right now we're trying to work on a 2-month deadline for every episode, so we're trying to get them out, get tours organized, and do Pure Onage. So when Pure Onage is done, though, after season 3, then who knows, it'll be fun to pick a new project or to just work on a bunch of either full-length or short films. Who knows? And I haven't heard of those websites that you describe. Or whatever.
Yeah, neither.
The second part of the question was do we watch that, or does anybody watch that? Was that the second part of the question?
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, sorry, yeah. I haven't heard of those. Are they gaming related sites or?
Fuck if I know.
Okay, I guess we're not in contact with the guy that's asking that. So, oh well.
Yeah, we've also got another question here. I think it got touched over before, but I guess it's taking it from a different aspect. Over the filming time, did you find yourself playing more or less games by any chance, or did the show make you appreciate games more because of the essence of the show, being about games and all? So, yeah, wondering if it's gotten your nerves at one point or another. So has it made you appreciate games more or less, would you say?
Yeah, I'll give my perspective on the whole gaming and how Pure Onage has affected my gaming, and that is that I kind of wish that I had never made this show and I would really appreciate games for what they are more, but now I'm looking for, whenever I'm playing a game, I'm looking for an angle to put it in the show or what are we going to talk about or what jokes can we make about this game or what kind of person we play this game or whatever. It's almost like, also with my music too, as soon as it becomes your job, it's not as fun as when it was your hobby, right? So kind of gaming is becoming our job, and it's kind of, that might ruin it too, but it's still fun. I'm not going to complain that it's my job to make videos and music and to play games and Jared as well, because we both love it. We love what we do. But yeah, it's true. Like, and also being on the inside, like talking to all the EA devs,
and we went to the CMC3 conference too to play the game before it was released and to see how it's developed and whatever was very, very cool. But it does change your perspective as a consumer. You don't just play the game and get excited the day it comes out. You know, we met some of the actors, we met some of the behind the, we met a lot of the behind the scenes people, and it kind of gives you a different perspective on the game that. You know, it's hard for me to get caught up in the universe of Kane now because, you know, we've seen the raw footage of the clips and whatever, so.
Interesting. And one small question we got here. Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
Yes, it mentions you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I've got my key mapped so that every time I copy paste, it activates the mic. Go ahead.
All right.
Job wanted to know if you've ever played a game, an old-school DOS game called Bioforge, and if so, if you ever gave the guy at the start his fork back. Job wants to know this. Apparently the game's called Bioforge, and it was an old DOS game. He wants to know if anyone there has played it.
Now, Bioforge, I think... Oh, my God, I think I did play it. It's an adventure game, I think, with an oblique view, and you run a guy through this, like, sort of maze kind of thing. Mark, do you remember Bioforge?
No, I only remember Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah, okay, well... Yeah, I'd have to look it up and look at some screenshots to make sure that it's the game I'm thinking about, but... Yeah, anyway, that was long ago I played that, but anyway, I don't know if I can answer the question about the fork. What was that?
I don't know if you did, if you gave the guy his fork back. Yeah.
Someone's looking at it in chat here.
Well, that's all for me.
Oh, wow, it's so familiar. I don't know, I played a lot of games, so, but... Anyway, yeah, it's cool. Brings back memories.
Okay, so next person is... Conman, I believe?
Hello, bitches. I've got a question for Jeremy. I was wondering if you preferred the Wii or the 360, considering that he has both. And just basically a short summary of why things are better, or whatever.
I just think they're both really different. Right now, I can't deny that my Xbox 360 is my play, but I think that might change once Smash Bros. Brawl comes out and we have a new Mario and a new Metroid. And so yeah. I mean, they're both. I don't even look at it the same way. When I have lots of people over my house, especially if there's a lot of non-gamers over and just hanging out or something, the Wii seems to be a big hit. But if there's gamers over, if I'm by myself and I want to play online, then obviously I play the 360. So. I'm kind of glad I have both.
Yeah, I understand, yeah. I just want to say 81.19, put 2 to 3, point 200, colon 2715, via for the win. So that's basically it, yeah. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, Surgeon Snail.
Brian Lear.
Hey. Okay, hi. My question is that now that Dave is back, what are you going to do with the light that you got to replace him? Or did it break? Is that why he came back?
Ah, the light. Well, Dave's not back in a light holding capacity, so the light has kept his job, and Dave's moved up a rank is strictly an actor.
Your mom!
Also, this will settle a lot of arguments. What's your favorite army in Supreme Commander?
Well, I don't want to... Yeah, I'm afraid I'll sound gay, but I like the Aeon. I don't know why. Don't ask me why.
There's nothing wrong with that. Cool. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks.
Oh, I got voice. So. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Hi.
Make this short.
Hey, Wyman.
Hey, guys. I'm kind of excited. Well, since I've got two atoms breathing down my neck, I'll just get to the goods. As you guys know, I'm coming to Canada this summer. Actually, July 14th till some other day. Yeah. Do you think we'll be able to meet a few guys?
are you 19?
I'm 18 now.
Are you going to be 19 on July 14th?
No, I'll be in Canada, though, so, yeah.
I think we can, we might be able to arrange a Maggie's breakfast, but, you know, you have to understand that's only because you're Wyman, that deal doesn't go for anyone else.
Oh, I'd be glad to meet you guys in the first place. Like, I don't know how guys you, how much will be available this week, so.
Let's wait till you taste the bacon.
Oh, I love bacon. On the short order deal, I see you guys using a Sony Bravia as TV. Does that mean you're not getting a PS3 and somehow did want to shove some Sony into your equipment?
Actually, Jeff and I were kind of noobs when we got into TV shopping. I spent like a day reading about them on the internet. I don't really pay attention to modern home theater technology or anything. I haven't had TV in a long, long time. We kind of went to the store and we just spent a long time looking at everything they had and comparing them all and using our eyes and to determine that the TV that we got is we each have the same TV because we're cheesy that way, and and so we thought it was really nice, had a good refresh, it was good for gaming and everything looked nice, so that's what we ended up getting. And I will eventually get a PS3 when there's games that someone wants to play.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a Bravia as well, and I'm really hyped about it. Last question. What do you think of Stalker? Do you like it?
I've got a lot of female stalkers now, and I don't really... I don't know. I feel kind of both ways about it. I just messed up. I haven't played it yet.
That's a shame. It's a game. Yeah.
Well, I'll check it out then on your recommendation.
Yeah, it's like an RPG, so, but FPS, it's got best of both. Yeah, thanks for the chat, you guys. This was over 9,000. Later.
Thanks, Wyman.
Okay, next is Checkmate.
Oh, hey, I'm the guy who's always first at the Calgary premieres, you know, the young guy. So anyways, I've had a question itching in my head for a long time, like the beginning, like it's not about the episode Happy Birthday Jacob, and you're talking about the cancer. Why are you guys calling each other fake names, and like, you know, are you guys acting drunk or something?
Hey dude, have you already grown another few inches since we last saw you?
I don't know.
It was we weren't as drunk as we would make out or anything. We may or may not have had some whiskey that may or may not have contributed to the creation of that video. But we thought it was a funny idea that night to it was really early on in Pure Onage, and you know, it was all purported reality then. There was no credits, there was nothing. So there was already a lot of speculation about who we were and this and that, what our real names were. People were already trying to dig. And so we thought it'd be really funny to obviously put in our fake name. Like, you know, we're dropping our names in a show that we're editing and releasing. And we always thought it was really funny that we put that in there. And we were just kind of want to see how many people thought that we were so drunk that we left that in the editing process before we put it online. And so it's always been kind of funny for us for that reason. But, yeah, we just...
Yeah, because you know, sure, that was your real name for a long time. So, Statics forgot to ask you a question, so he privated me a message. It's, can you ask Joel brackets Doug on brackets if you ever play Counter Day of Defeat Source?
Joel or Blades?
This is Statics' question.
Sorry, what was the question? I wasn't paying attention.
He's asking if you guys ever played Day of Defeat Source.
If we ever played it,
we bought that game back when Joel was living with me in Toronto, I think, and we played that. We only played it for like 2 weeks though. I don't know why we stopped, but Yeah, I remember we had a brief spurt with that game.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's all I have to say. I'll try to keep growing. All right, that's all I have to say.
Checkmate, weren't you second in line last time?
Yeah. Oh, I almost got hit by a truck because my friend, I saw him, he just got off the bus, he was walking to the theater, and, like, he was supposed to, like, carpool with me, but then, like, he took the bus, and see, I saw him walking, and then, like, I was gonna run out, except then, like, the car just zoomed by me, like, I think it was a truck or whatever, so, yeah, it was very sad. I had depression after that, like, I just need to be, like, a little late. Maybe I shouldn't have brushed my teeth before I came, you know, I gotta, like, be fresh before, like, you know, go thing. Yeah, I really shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Hey, I just got to say that I have to take off. There's a hot tub and barbecue party that's calling my name. So.
All right, see ya. Yeah, that's basically all I have to say.
Okay, Melon Queen wanted to interject to say that Dave has a hot arse. But, yeah, next is Noodle.
Hi. I've already asked Joel this, but I was just curious to know any of the rest of you, if you had any favorite podcasts you like listening to.
Please don't say that again.
Glenn Melon Queen.
Can you repeat that question?
I was just curious to know if any of you had any favorite podcasts you like listening to.
I watch a little Tiki Bar TV. I guess that can be described as a podcast, but that's actually about it. It's funny, like. I have ADD, so without any visual stimuli, my attention shifts very, very quickly. So I've tried to listen to podcasts, but like 2 minutes in, I'm in nowhere space land in my brain, and then I come back at like the 8 minute mark and realize I missed 3/4 of it. And yeah, that's my podcast experience.
Yeah, I was also wondering if any of you guys ever played Matrix Online when it was popular.
Matrix Online.
Pronobozo played it and says, yeah, it sucked. I actually, I didn't play it. I had two friends that played it, but at that point, I was so turned off of MMOs, I didn't even give it a shot.
All right, yeah, cheers. Thanks, Mom.
Good community, bad game is what Pronobozo has to say in the end.
Okay, so Rebound next.
Am I coming through? I hope I'm not coming through too loud.
Nope, it's perfect.
Wonderful. First thing I just want to say is thank you so much for coming to New York. I actually was, you know, kind of bummed out when I tried to figure out to get to Toronto, and I was like, oh, God, it's going to be like $300. And then, but you're coming to New York, so yes. So thank you so much for coming.
No, thanks. Thanks for the awesome New York experience. That was actually it was one of the highlights of our tour, I think. The people were just so enthusiastic, and everyone was so friendly. And it was the first time I'd ever been to New York, and it was such a surreal experience for me. You know, even just driving there, every street name you pass, all these landmarks you pass, you've seen before in film. You know, you've never been to this place, but yet everything's so familiar. So the whole New York experience is actually really, really positive for us. So yeah, so thanks for owning in New York.
No problem. My question, even though I just recently found out that, you know, from Jeff that, you know, you're only going to be doing another 2 seasons of Pure Ownage, if the thought ever tickled you to continue past, say, season 3, you know, do you think you'd have the kind of longevity like, say, a Simpsons or something, like just keep doing it, you know, for as long as it's still fun and profitable and whatnot?
Well, It's a tough question to answer. I really don't know what could possibly make us extend it past three seasons. I don't think it would happen. I think we're too interested and too creative, and you know, we'd rather work on new shows. You know, Ralph Mayo Productions will exist a lot longer, I think. But Pyramids, I mean, it's sort of written to be three seasons, and anything beyond that, I know I don't want to X-Files it up.
Okay, and my second question, I know that Miranda's been doing other things besides Pirona. She's got her whole acting thing. I was wondering if some of the other cast, like, you know, I was going to ask Joel this, but, you know, he had that barbecue hot tub thingamabobber that he needed to go to. You know, if because of or since Pirona, you know, have been calls coming in, oh, yeah, we want to get this guy from your show. You know, we think he'd be really good for this, whatever we're doing.
Well, Joel is working on a couple other projects, independent projects that, you know, he's sort of, you know, he got involved with some friends and whatnot in Calgary, so he, you know, they're sort of spearheading them himself, so no, there was no calls, you know, it sort of came in from anyone. We've never actually received any inquiries in the Noob Store about using people from Pironage for anything like films or anything. You know, Miranda is an actor by trade, so yes, she independently pursues that. Personally, I do not pursue any of that stuff. My acting is limited to just Pironage. You know, maybe when Pironage is done, I'll start thinking about other stuff. But for right now, I mean, you know, we're all just sort of focused on the one show. So, you know, yeah, Joel and Miranda do act in other things. Dave is, you know, he's not really an actor, so he's exclusive. And I'm not really interested in doing anything else right now.
Cool, thank you very much. And one quick thing before I go. I'm rooting for Davin to beat Dave in Wii Tennis.
Yeah, well,
kind of does.
I kind of won the last two straight, if you've been watching.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem.
Okay, Mordok is next.
Yo, what up? Yeah, I just have two really quick questions. Since you guys are going on a lot of tours and such, it's a big hassle to travel so much.
It was a bit of a hassle, I guess, only because, you know, I don't fly well, so all these flights every second day were kind of really dragging me down and making me kind of sick. I guess we learned that, you know, we met all these people right away at all these different shows, shook all these hands, and then of course we all got sick, and then we all passed it to each other, so we were actually kind of sick for the majority of the tour. And with all the traveling, it was just really exhausting. It was surprising. It felt like I was digging ditches all day or something. It was like, when the days ended, we just crashed, and you know, we were just exhausted. So, I mean, it wasn't as pure fun as we had hoped, but in the end, it was definitely, you know, it was like a good experience, and I'm really, really glad I had.
Awesome, and just a quick question. Being from Ottawa, Canada, I'm just curious, who are you guys rooting for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Watch out. Oh, obviously I'm going for the Sens. I mean,
good job.
I'm from Calgary, so I'm a Flames fan, but I'm a Canada fan second. So when my team's out, I just sort of pull up the other Canadian teams, and Ottawa's the last one left, and they're looking really, really good actually. So I have a lot of confidence we'll be seeing a Stanley Cup final, which will be really, really exciting.
Well, you know what? When the party comes to Ottawa, you're gonna come here and party with everyone.
No, honestly, man, without a doubt, if Ottawa's in the finals and there's some and there's you know, game fives, game six, game sevens that they can win, like I'll make the trip down, because to be in a Canadian city when they win the Stanley Cup is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Well, actually, maybe it's four or five times in a life, but still worth it.
Well, just be sure to post on the website if you come here. It'd be awesome to meet. Thanks.
For sure, man. Yeah, I'll pick a pub somewhere.
Okay, soccer fan to ask you about soccer.
Okay, hi guys.
I have limited football knowledge, but I was introduced to it. Actually, Hans from episode 3, the guy, the Dutch dude at the start, he introduced me to soccer, to football, as I now properly call it. And yeah, so we made a pact. I taught him hockey and how to appreciate hockey in the playoffs, and he taught me soccer. And it was the year of the Euro Cup. So, yeah, I have a limited understanding, and I basically only watch the World Cup and the Euro Cup. So every 2 years, I go into a brief soccer fanaticism, and then that's it.
Do you guys play any Civ games, like Civ 4 or something?
Could you repeat that? It was very quiet.
Do you play Civ 4, Civilization 4?
Actually, no, I didn't play Civ 4. I played Civ 2 and Civ 3. And it's funny because I have a friend who's just absolutely obsessed with that franchise. I mean, this guy, he plays every... I always laugh at him because he only plays Civ. He's a big gamer because he games hell 8 hours a day, but all he's ever played is Civ. He's just a Civ, Civ, Civ. So he kind of scares me a bit. But no, I didn't actually end up picking up 4. I was too into some other games at the time.
Okay. Well, one more question. I was wondering if you guys, I know you guys have been to Calgary a couple of times, and I was wondering if you guys know where a place called Switchbox is, or DoubleClick, Internet Cafe area?
Yeah, actually, last I was in Calgary for the tour, I spent some time hanging out at Switchbox. And yeah, it was awesome. No one bugged me. I walked in, and you know, I grabbed a computer in the corner, and I just played some CNC3 because we've been on the road for over 2 weeks, and I really, really missed my PC. So I went there a couple times to play CNC. It was nice that I had an uninterrupted experience.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, guys. Good show, and just keep doing it.
Thank you, dude.
Okay. Next is 00 Diesel.
Okay, hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, dude.
I'm just wondering, how come you guys never showed Dave's name in the credits for episode 12? Like, how come you didn't do his last name, you know?
At Dave's request, I didn't want his last name. Everyone just calls him Dave, and he is Dave, and Dave is Dave, so I think... Maybe it's more obvious to us knowing him in real life, but it's the credit is perfectly fitting.
Okay, and how long did it take to like teach the dog how to learn the boom headshot trick? That was hilarious.
Actually, well, you can thank Stacy. Chemo is Stacy's dog, and so Chemo taught Stacy taught Chemo at a very young age to drop to the sound of a gunshot and the pointing of a finger, and that was one of his tricks. So just knowing Chemo and knowing that trick, I mean, it was an easy adaptation. And literally, I think the first try, you know, as long as Joel was pointing at him with the fingers the way he was, he kept dropping to the ground and doing the play dead tricks. So he just happened to know the trick by chance.
Okay, and so what would you have to say is your best, like your favorite FPS game all time?
For me, it's Duke Nukem 3D, man. Damn, I'm
looking good. Yeah.
I didn't get that. What?
Kyle, I think in 3D. I think Dave will come in with some.
That's correct. CS 1.6, CS 1.5, maybe a little bit of 1.3. Not very much short.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can never go wrong with an AK. Okay. Thanks, guys. Like, just wanted to say one more thing. Like. Right after the premiere, I saw you guys in, like, Evergreen biking around, and I was such a noob, like, I couldn't even recognize you guys. So just want to say sorry about that, and thanks for the time.
No problem, man. Hilarious. Awesome.
Okay. Next is Focus Fire.
Talk a little louder.
Bit louder.
Say what? You need to get a little louder, and you're really quiet. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I remember I was talking to you here in Houston, Jeff, about retrocausality.
And I like the answer that you gave me about, like, you know, basically what it meant. But I wanted to know, what kind of, like, machinery and stuff did they use in the demonstration? I went back and I read back about it, and it just boggles my mind. I can't figure it out.
Jeff? Jared, anyone?
Hello. I doubt they could hear him, because I definitely couldn't hear him.
Yeah. See if you can increase volume a little bit more.
Well, while you're trying to do that, Sancho had a question. He can't have a mic. He wanted to know the story about John and Keith, whether it was a story of Jeremy or just something completely else.
You know, it's actually kind of funny. I read a thread about that, and I was really shocked to learn that it wasn't obvious to most people that that John is Jeremy and Keith is Kyle, and the fight he's referring to is with the Big Bad. And so, yeah, I really have no problem confirming that, because it was intended to be confirmed just through the dialogue, but I guess, you know, we didn't communicate that well enough, so learning experience for us.
Okay, Farkas Fire, have you managed to fix your microphone yet?
Not sure.
That's still really low. What is it? Just what's your question? We'll just like PM it to one of us and we'll say it.
Sure, alright.
And this one's Kerbop. He wants to know if you guys ever played a game called Walker's Crisps, an old console game.
Hi, could you read that?
He wanted to know if you guys have played a game called Walker Crisps, True to the Core. It's an old console game.
No, I haven't, but I have watched the show Walker, Texas Ranger, and I've spent some time laughing at that.
Yeah, you kind of remind me of Chuck Norris there, Jared.
Yeah. Okay, so Farkas Fire's question was, what equipment your professor used during the experience experiment on retro casuality, probably to Jeff. Yeah.
This must have been one of the guys we were talking to in Texas about. We were hanging out after the premiere at the bar, and we had a few drinks, and then we started talking about physics, which is always a bad idea. But anyway, yeah. I didn't personally do any experiments on retrocausality. I was a theoretical physicist, but anyway, yeah. No one wants to hear about that. It's all boring anyway.
No, please do share.
Well, let's begin by talking about the basics of linear algebra. You see, a matrix is when... Okay, fuck it.
Yeah, you can probably talk to Pikes afterwards or something. But, okay, next person is CHG.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I think we're all doing pretty awesome here, having a good time. The Wii's going, and Stacy just made some awesome food, so we're all just taking breaks to eat here. So, anyway, you got a question?
You guys are such an inspiration. I have 4 or 5 questions for you guys. Sorry for being greedy.
4 or 5 is cool if they're brief.
Okay. Firstly, I'd like to ask you something. What camera do you use and how much is it?
Canon XH-A1. It was about...
$1 million!
$4,500 Canadian. Mark's putting it on display on the camera there, on the webcam, so... Check it out. Yeah, it's really, I did some research. There was the Sony high-def equivalent. I can't remember the model, but
we ended up getting the Canon over the Sony because it had a wider max zoom out. And yeah, it's a little bit noisy though. You can hear some of the noise in the zoom mechanism. But I usually just high pass filter that out, and it's not usually a problem if you have the microphone that's independent of the camera. But the Sony was really nice too. It had a larger display. But yeah, anyway, the Canon was the way to go, and I recommend this camera currently to anybody that wants to shoot in high def. It's amazing optics, very great image. And you might even notice in the web versions of episode 13 that our camera quality has improved. So yeah, it's because of that new Canon.
Oh, nice. The next question is for Jeremy.
Go nuts, he's listening.
Have you ever played Warcraft 3, and what is your preferred race?
Yeah, I played Warcraft 3. I played Orcs, and that was a long time ago. I actually never even got into the Frozen Throne. That's how long it was. It wasn't even out yet. And I played hardcore for like 3 months. Yeah, I'm talking a long time ago. And then I went back to CNC after 3 months. To be honest, I was a really big Warcraft 1 and 2 player, and I was really disappointed by the whole hero system. And I felt that experiencing and getting random items, I didn't like the element of luck that it introduced, and I also didn't like the feeling of the MMO it had, because I had played MMOs in the past and was trying to distance myself from that style of game. But so I kind of went back to CNC, and if there ever is a Warcraft 4, I'm definitely going to play it, but I just hope that they ditch the mega leveling your hero thing.
My next question is for Dave.
Dave's listening.
Dave, being Cantonese myself, what does Da Wei mean?
The actual proper way of pronouncing Da Wei is Da Wei. I think it means that, from my understanding, that doing something great.
Do you speak any Cantonese yourself?
Not really, but I'm trying. I'm primarily Mandarin.
I'm loving the haircut, by the way. My last question is, it's basically for everyone. What do you guys prefer, CS 1.6 or CS Source? In my opinion, CS 1.6 is easier to reg.
Yeah, we all went back to 1.6 after a short while after Source came out, and we were a little disillusioned. There was some hitbox issues and there was some problems. I don't even know if those have been sorted out, but I do know that I've noticed Source is getting more and more played competitively, so I'm thinking that maybe I want to go back to that when I do play CS, but these days I'm not really playing much CS. I'm like almost strictly RTS again.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time and everything. See ya.
Take it easy.
I'm guessing it's my turn. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to know what upcoming movies Jarrett and Geoff are looking forward to seeing.
Well, you know, with me, upcoming movies doesn't necessarily mean upcoming to the movie theater. It may mean upcoming to being on DVD or being available for download through various places on the internet. I have not seen Grindhouse
yet.
I have not seen Grindhouse. I have a list, actually, of Sam movies. I haven't seen Spider-Man 3, and, you know, Sam Raimi and Ivan Raimi wrote it, and it's supposed to be pretty different, but the reviews haven't been very good. But, you know, I'm a big Evil Dead, Army of Darkness fan, so, you know, I kind of have faith in Sam and Ivan, right? So, I also don't generally think about movies that are up and coming as being the ones I have to see with highest priority. There's decades and decades of awesome movies that I haven't seen that you guys should check out, like all the stuff. I'm a big fan of 70s cinema,
And you know, it's really I don't really conceive of a new movie as being something that's really like, okay, it's new and it's fancy and it's going to be something I want to see. It was really the quality of cinema hasn't really increased over the decades. So I watch a lot of old movies too. I go buy them. You can buy a lot of from HMV here in Toronto. They've got a lot of old movies for like $8 or whatever on DVD. I buy those or I download them from the internet or whatever. But yeah. I always have a massive queue of movies that I have to watch, and I think Grindhouse is near the top of that. I might actually go to the theater to see that because I've heard it's a real theater experience.
Fair enough. And what about Jarrett?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar situation as Jeff. My up-and-coming movies is just a huge queue on my computer, and most of them are from many years ago, and there's been so many hundreds of great films made over the last 50 years that I still haven't seen that it's hard for me to get excited for new movies coming out when I don't know anything about them. So I usually wait to have some trusted sources. Jeff is, you know, one of my most trusted sources. If I haven't seen a film and Jeff tells me, oh, you got to see this film, then bang, all of a sudden that film's at the top of my queue and I'm checking it out. So that's sort of my priority list is recommendations from friends whose opinions I trust. And because you don't know anything about a film before it's released, all you have is the marketing BS. And really, it's hard for me to get excited.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, thanks for your time, and that'll be all.
There's something I'd like to elaborate on regarding that question. I sat down about 5 years ago and made a decision that I would watch every Oscar-winning movie back to 1950. That I would have been able to have said I've seen them all. So I've been watching a lot of, you know, I go to the Wikipedia, whatever, you can see all the winners, and I've watched, I think, all of them back to 1970. I want to be a filmmaker, right? So you got to know what the Oscar-winning movies are. So now I'm kind of branched out to nominees, you know, the five nominees that are for Best Picture. But generally though, if you go to Wikipedia and you check out a movie that's in one of the top five Oscar nominees, it's worthwhile watching. It's like an entertaining movie. It's better than the bland crap on TV nowadays. So anyway, probably more information than you wanted to know regarding your question, but there you go.
No, that's all right. Thanks for your time, and that will be all.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for bringing up movies. I always love to chat about movies.
All right.
Okay. Earshell is next.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. First of all, I just want to say that I'm not actually at home, but I managed to get a laptop, and against all odds, I'm talking to you right now. So my first question is for Jeff.
I'm here, dude.
Will you ever, are you planning to ship Noobstore merchandise to stores all around the world, or would it be online exclusively?
Well, you know, it's actually really... Sorry, you have to say something very pressing.
Can you guys hear me? Awesome. Yeah. Before I ask the question, I'm Aiden.
Earshell.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I was being polite, I guess, too polite. Thanks for owning him. we've been recently talking to some people about getting our DVDs in stores because, you know, why not? You want to, you know, you walk into whatever DVD store. I don't know what franchises there are in the States, but you know, I think we should be in Future Shop and HMV. In Canada anyway, because there's a lot of people that want to buy the DVD. Obviously, it's been selling pretty well on the internet. So eventually, we might even have Noobstore shirts, you know, I Own Noobs, whatever, in stores. But you know, that's something that's really difficult to put together. And you know, we're an internet show, right? It's a new business. No one really knows what the hell we're about, and no one really realizes that, you know, people actually want to wear our shirts and say they're gamers and whatever. So gaming culture is still underground. Pionage is still kind of underground. So in terms of being in the mainstream, having that distribution of our products, it's a very difficult thing to achieve. Even though I'm sure that a lot of people wouldn't mind being able to walk into a store and buying Noobstore merchandise.
Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, so Jeff, you play the guitar, right?
I strum a few chords, that's about it.
Okay, so next questions are for Jarrett.
He's listening.
Okay, Jarrett, have you played the Metal Gear Solid series?
Yeah, fuck, I dig the Metal Gear Solid series. I played Metal Gear back on the Nintendo Entertainment System, like the very first one, and I was a fan back then. So I was really, really stoked when Metal Gear Solid came out on the PlayStation. And yeah, that was an awesome gaming experience. I can't believe how creative Hideo Kojima can be. And you know, the whole putting the controller down and moving with the vibrating, and there's a lot of cool elements. So I've kind of stuck with it since. And I always feel like the games are too short somehow, but it's really one of the only single-player games that I can actually stand playing. So I really dig them.
Yeah, what do you think about Metal Gear Solid 3? Was it a worthy successor?
I'm naturally biased against sequels, but I don't know. I guess I did have more fun with some past ones. Even the original Nintendo maybe, but that's the original one that broke my cherry. But I think I'll probably be getting a PS3 when 4 comes out.
That's what I want to hear. Oh, and I got a question here from a guy called The Dragon. He doesn't have a microphone, and he asks if you like to play fighting games, particularly Dragon Ball Set Budokai games.
I do really dig fighting games, but not that particular one. I'm a really big Smash Brothers fan, and still a little bit of a Street Fighter fan. And I haven't played Mortal Kombat in a long time, but I used to be a big fan of that. But mostly these days, it's mostly Smash Brothers with a little bit of Street Fighter.
Okay, so I'm going to conclude pretty soon. But I got to ask you a favor, Jared. Can you please tell me in a Jeremy accent how you can possibly own so much?
Well, I mean, when you're, like, born that way, it's not much work.
Great. Okay. So, thank you, guys. And perhaps we'll meet online sometime when the 1.5 patch comes out in Command & Conquer. Goodbye.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. Got a quick question from Inev. He wanted to know, Jarrett, if you prefer GDI... Nod or screen for C3 and why?
Oh yeah, I think Jared can talk at great lengths about that. Let me put on the mic.
Right now, as much as I didn't expect it, I think I have the most fun playing as GDI, but also because a lot of that fun comes from feeling so disadvantaged and working against the odds. And it's kind of frustrating when you outplay a guy who does nothing but build the Scorpion tank, and he beats you. I did start playing Nod because I am going to play Nod once they're balanced, but I can't stand to play the side that's considered overpowered and that 90% of the competitive community plays. So I always like to choose what's considered like the weakest side. And Skrin's never done it for me as much. I guess I like humans and tanks and things I can more easily relate to. So GDI right now has a lot of potential. A lot of good micro potential with zone troopers and APCs and whatnot that people don't really fully explore yet. But I think with the patch, they might be a little too devastating, which will make me have to go back to another team.
Man, I want to like stop this fan chat and play now. Yeah. I'm thinking about playing CNC3. Like, come on, like.
All right,
Okay. Yeah, Laura.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, sir, I got another CNC3 question for you. What do you think of how they introduced the screen? Because I personally think they should have waited for an expansion, which is the tradition with Command & Conquer third races.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of new. You know, they're going for the whole generalist thing now. You know, the three races is the standard for a release now, but it seems like it's just infinitely more difficult to balance once you introduce a third race. I don't really agree with that. You know, we talked about this at the Command & Conquer Summit. We talked about how, okay, there's an alien race, it's the Skrin, but they have all the same sort of classes of units. You know, they've got their power, they've got their expansion unit, they've got their harvesting unit. It's all the same, and all the harvesters are the same. You know, in generals, you had the helicopter for the USA, you had the Chinese trucks, you had the workers for the GLA, and it was completely different types of resource gathering. Here, you've got the same types of resource gathering, and this was a lot of people were very vocal about this at the CNC Generals community, at the CNC 3 Community Summit. They were saying, oh, all the races are the same. Sure, one has alien graphics, but it's not alien at all because they got the same tanks, the same types of ground units, the same everything. So really, there wasn't much diversification in terms of the teams. But, of course, that's easier to balance and whatever. Kind of reminds me of Red Alert 2 when you had just like the different, the France, the Germany that all had their single special unit, but everything else was identical. But so, you know, I wasn't expecting a Generals. I was expecting another Red Alert kind of structure. So it wasn't too disappointing for me. And who knows what the expansion is going to be like if there is one. I hope they fix this and balance it and make it a good game, because right now it's not the greatest game in the world. Even though it's the newest and, you know, the newness is cool and the design's not bad, so I do play it. But it could be a lot better than it is.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I'm not disappointed with the game. I just really think they should have waited for an expansion. But
I'm just wondering what team do you play and why? I'm just wondering to get a sample of what people are playing. And
well, I usually play Nod, just because I kind of grew up with that. It's very nostalgic for me personally.
Surprise! You're loyal to Nod, eh?
Yeah, I know. Big surprise, eh?
Yeah, you're always in the front of the line at the Toronto premieres, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm there with Nubified and Adam. I think you know him from Canada Computers.
Yes, Adam and the green-haired guy.
Yeah, the green-haired guy. Unfortunately, he's dyeing his hair black this weekend.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, so if you had one more question, we should move along.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment. I didn't realize this until I put it up on the wall, but the Jeremy poster's really creepy. Whenever I walk into the room, he's always staring at me.
Wow, you see. Yeah, I can't stop thinking about Tony Soprano in that pose. You know, he's like a big Tony Soprano-looking guy. But yeah, you know, I don't have a Jeremy poster in my bedroom. You know, I'm just like, you know, I would never do that. I'm just Doug, right? But yeah, it is kind of creepy. But you know, actually soon we're gonna get some other posters. I want to get an Anastasia poster. I think a lot of guys have an Anastasia poster on their wall. Oh, Kashmir could not contain himself. What do you think about that, Mariah? You want to have a poster yourself on every? Yeah, we were thinking about doing a Marilyn Monroe.
That's my one.
It'd kind of be like the Farrah Fawcett of the 70s, always on, like, you know, top of the beds, on the ceiling.
We could do that.
Dude,
we should
I'm getting
do a bunch
wallpaper.
Of
I'm getting
wallpaper. Posters in it. Yeah, what's that movie with the guy with the Suzanne Summers, and turns out she's his mom. I can't remember. There's some movie about that, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, that kind of stuff, you know, the classic blonde hottie over your bed.
Yeah. Special Ops Kerrigan just wanted me to mention that I stand in line with him as well.
Oh, yes, Evan. Evan is the man.
Yeah, all right, that's all. Thanks.
Awesome, great talking to you.
Okay, here's Aiden, the guy who so rudely interrupted before, and I figure he might get a shot again then.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. My turn was skipped, so, yeah. Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. And I'm curious as to what was so important. What did you have to say that was so pressing that you would jump?
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
yeah, this is for Kyle. Before I ask the question, I would like to say I'm Aiden. Before the Houston screening, I bumped into you and Jeremy outside behind the theater. I gave you guys a card and stuff and told you guys I was going to compose your show, if you remember.
Yes, and I went and saw your website and watched you play a piano concerto with some orchestra. That was very cool.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you actually... Okay, my question is, considering you're the main composer for Pure Ownage, what is your musical background, and how did you get your musical education, and what instruments do you play, and how do you manage both composing and filming for the show?
Well, that's a lot of questions, but first of all, I'd like to say that your website is absolutely fucking hilarious in that it has you playing, I can't remember which composer it was Chopin or somebody.
Oh, Gershwin. It was Gershwin Piano Concerto.
Gershwin, yes. And you see, you got this Gershwin video. You got all these links to all these videos. It's like Gershwin, me in an orchestra playing Gershwin. I'm on piano, and then you got this other like super classical composer, and then the third video is like another like concert with you and some orchestra, and then the fourth video is Jeremy rubs his balls on a shirt, and I'm there. Ha ha.
Yeah.
It's so hilarious to me to see like your video collection and having the ball rubbing be the your number one video or whatever.
Yeah, that's man. I was wondering if you're interested I'm really interested in joining your team and composing for your show, and I'm gonna
get. Yeah, well, the show's got a composer, so back off. No, I'm just bugging you. Yeah, what I say to all my friends that are musicians, I say, send me MP3s. Just send me your music, and if it fits in the show, I'll use it. And that's how Steve Ford got his shit in the show. That's how, Prona Bozo, he sent me some stuff, and I'm like, okay, can you compose a Tetris techno battle song, So it just send me your music, send me MP3s, and if they fit in the show, I'll use them.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. But in my site, under downloads,
I have seven songs. Okay, yeah, I saw the downloads. I'll download those. I'll put them in my file. Okay, so to answer your question, moving along, because there's a lot of people in the queue. When I'm shooting Pionage, oftentimes I'm sort of thinking holistically. Like I'm the editor, the main editor, and I'm the director, and I hold the camera, and I do music. So it's kind of like all one task for me. When I'm shooting Pionage, I'm thinking, okay, this is the music that's going to go along with it. So it's really like. It's really like kind of one task, which I think might add something to the show. Like, the best example of that is when we were shooting the end of episode 10. I was shooting Jarrett running out of his house with his computer in hand, and I was thinking, okay, I know the exact music that's going to go along with this. I know I'm going to freeze frame it on this. And I'm thinking how I'm editing it, thinking how I'm going to shoot it, thinking what the music is going to be as I'm filming it. So it's really kind of all one task, and that's sort of how I handle it. And it's really a great thing being able to do that as a producer, to be able to have your hands in all those different production aspects. But of course, the problem with that is that you end up spending far too much time. It takes a long time to get the episode done and whatever. But eventually, I hope to delegate the tasks of my future work to other people so that it gets faster. But I kind of think of it as being one big task, and try to put everything together, and I think that produces some good results sometimes.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you for your time. Great talking to you. Keep the music up, and I hope one day I'll hear one of my songs in your episodes. So see you later.
Awesome, dude. Talk to you soon.
All right, later.
Okay. Next guy is Final Prince. Price. Yeah, whatever.
Can't hear you, dude.
We can't hear you. Okay, we'll move along then. I don't know, do you have a question, Myron or Casper?
Well, you know, we just saw his name and we just all started singing here. We're just Davin, do you want to do a duet with me? Davin and I are going to do a duet here.
All right, what are we starting?
Don't have to be rich to be my world. You don't have to be cool to be my girl. Ain't no particular spot. I'm most compatible with there you go. And with that, Jeff cut off the microphone.
There's a question for Davin. The video you were shooting during the tour, when are we going to be able to see that?
Yeah, one of the things I do whenever they have a debut is I'm always taking just background footage of everything I can, trying to document sort of everything going on behind the scenes. And when we shoot it, we don't really know where it's going to go. It may end up on DVD extra. To tell you the truth, this one I'm probably going to edit down and give to the guys as a little gift sometime soon, because I don't think they've seen any of the footage. So there's some really cool stuff. For example, when I was at the New York premiere, I was up in the projection booth, and I was shooting through the tiny little window where the movie is shown at all the fans going crazy. And so it was really cool because I see, you know, Jared's hands go up, and it's time for the show, and I pull back, and there's this old, like, 80-year-old projectionist. And he's like, is it the time to press the play button? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. So I pressed it, and yeah, so I have all that on film. I'll probably edit it down and just give it to the guys as a gift sometime pretty soon. But it may very well end up on a DVD.
Okay, next person to talk, your final prince, hasn't fixed his microphone is Prototype M.
Okay, I got a question for Miranda.
Hello? All right, we need more questions for Miranda, because she's just been sitting here playing Tetris.
Yeah, no one's asking.
She's having a great time, but, you know, she needs more mic time here, so I'll just throw her on the mic, and you go nuts.
Okay, Miranda, how does it feel to get your head humped by Jared?
It feels amazing. Like, how am I supposed to answer that? It was probably one of the funniest things that we've ever filmed, and we actually only did it in one take because it was so funny that we were going to burst into laughter no matter how many times we did it. So, yeah, it was hilarious. We did it, and then we turned off the camera, and then we laughed for, like, 20 minutes straight.
So, Jared, can
you do it again? No.
Well, okay, thanks.
Okay, next is Cheese Panda, unless you have any more questions for your time.
No, I'm done.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right, nice one. I've got a question for Jeremy, if it's okay.
Yeah, I'm here. What's the question?
Jeremy. What does Jeremy think of the Battlefield series?
My experience with the Battlefield series is that it's a series that I have a few friends that are addicted to that always try to get me to play it, But I don't know, it came out and became really popular in my I fucking hate EA and want them to die phase, and so I never really gave them a fair chance because I just wanted to for EA to die.
Nice one. I have another question as well. Do you actually still play WoW, and can you actually survive playing WoW this time?
I don't play WoW. I don't ever plan to play WoW again. And I'm sure I could easily be the best WoW player in the world. Because, I mean, really.
Well, that was a close call when you almost died playing it. And anyway, that's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Keep up the ownage.
I got a question from Miranda here.
If she's listening.
She's listening.
Sorry to interrupt you, Darren. Right. Obviously, being such a good actor, you know, you obviously play your character quite well. Do you personally ever get frustrated between your character's persona and how people must perceive you versus your actual persona? Does that ever become frustrating? Obviously, fan chats, et cetera, et cetera.
I wouldn't say it's frustrating, but it was a little bit hard at first being so shy in public. Like when we had our first screening in episode 9 in Toronto, I had to, because we were still in character, right? Like I was known as nothing else but Anastasia, and so coming out, I had to be extremely shy in front of all these people, and it was frustrating because I didn't really know what to say. Like normally in that situation, I would have been pretty friendly and I would have been more outgoing, but I had to sort of go into a shyer Anastasia sort of a person. So I guess frustrating that way. I'm not sure if that really addresses your question, but I'm pretty different from the character, I think.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, it's Kashmir Z.
Of course. Well, they said you weren't getting any questions, so we might as well think up some.
Oh, no, you don't have to ask questions. I'm fine. I'm having a great time. But it's nice to finally talk.
Well, in that case, I won't ask anything. All right, stop hugging the mic, Casey. Moving right along.
Brian Laird.
Hello. I just have a question for Jeremy. I was wondering sort of what you would sort of consider to be a more pro and like incredibly powerful Scud Storm or whatever, or the Flashbang Killer Strike Source. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
If anyone properly deciphered that, could you please communicate that to me?
Something about Counter-Strike Sword.
Basically, would you consider a better a Scud Storm Destruction or a Flashbang Kill in CSS?
Well, I think a Flashbang Kill in CSS is funnier.
I see. I also have another request from Sean from a Virtual International Army. Sean likes to just basically say that he owns the number one server in CSS in the world, 81.19223200:7.5
for the win. This isn't a advertising chat, man. Go advertise your server somewhere else, pal.
Get a better mic for fuck's sake. Get a good server, get a good mic.
Okay, so next is Five Live.
Hey.
Hey, Firefly.
Yo. My question's sort of for Jeff and Devin, in the sense that are there any kind of new editing styles or special effects styles you guys have got planned for season 2?
Well, we plan to move over, and we're going to buy a Mac soon, so we're going to move over to more pro software, and in terms of special effects, Davin's the man. I think the stuff he's done is amazing, but we're hoping to raise the bar on that in season 2, of course. In terms of editing style, I think that we've pretty much established the way that Pion is cut, and we don't want to stray too far from that unless we have a special episode or something. But you can expect sort of a more refined version of season 1 and season 2, and hopefully we can up the quality of our video. And of course, we're shooting in high def, right? So we're going to have HD DVDs or Blu-ray available at the end of season 2, so that's going to be really awesome. It would be able to see Pioners in high def.
Very cool, man. Very cool. It's a great step up from season 1.
Oh, shit, I didn't even realize it's Firefly. How's it going, man?
Yeah, long time no talk.
I know. What have you been up to lately? Have you been shooting stuff?
Yeah, I've been shooting a lot of stuff, actually. I got a new video up on my YouTube. You know, check it out sometime.
Oh man, I
think you might like it.
Really? Okay. I'll definitely check it out. Awesome. Yeah, Firefly is an upstanding member of our community. He's also an aspiring filmmaker. He made that video we linked off the main site with two of himself, and the other guy shoots the other guy because he gives spoilers in episode 12. I thought that was really funny. So, anyway, that's Firefly.
Yeah, Jeff, you just spoiled the end of that video. How could you do that?
Okay, I'll have to make a video about me spoiling the end of your video, because your video talks about the end of my video. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Very meta.
Very.
Okay,
I should talk to you sometime.
Awesome, dude.
Ciao.
Talk to you later.
Ciao.
Myron, you had a question?
Yeah, this is from the I can't hear any of you fuck guy down at the bottom. Very popular forum topic in PB discussion about a certain object of Mr. Jarrett's sticking out at a monitor.
Dude, honestly, like, that's, like, kind of funny. I mean, it's obviously just a fold in my pants. I think, like, if I had a boner, people wouldn't be making a thread about it, saying, is that a boner? They'd be saying, holy fuck, I need to get a penis pump.
Hey, what's up? My question's for Jeremy. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, guys.
What's going on, guys?